word came down via Twitter at 5:40 a.m. Eastern this morning when the @POTUS Twitter account shared word from Labor Secretary Marty Walsh that a deal had been reached to avoid a railroad worker strike. @POTUS tweeted, quote, "This is a win for the economy and for the American people. Rail workers will get better pay, improved working conditions, and peace of mind around their health care costs. I thank both the unions and rail companies for negotiating in good faith." This after an all-night bargaining session between the union's leadership, representing more than 50,000 engineers and conductors, and the railroad's labor negotiators. They met with the clock ticking down to a strike that had been set to begin tomorrow. This is great news for businesses that depend on the freight railroads to continue to operate. That's most of them. And for the U.S. economy as a whole, about 30% of the nation's freight moves by rail. So what happens next? Well, that's up to the members of the 13 rail unions who must now ratify the compromise. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has finally complied with a subpoena from the Justice Department's investigation into the events surrounding January 6, 2021. This makes him the highest ranking official connected to the former guy known to have responded to a subpoena in the federal investigation. Meadows turned over the same materials he provided to the House Select Committee last year. That's when he turned over thousands of text messages and emails before he stopped cooperating. We've learned in recent days that federal investigators issued at least 30 subpoenas to individuals with connections to Trump, including top officials from his fundraising and former campaign operation. And other reports of more subpoenas and increased pressure on the former guy and the plot to overturn a fair and free election keep surfacing. Like this one, FBI agents this week seized the cell phone of MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, who happens to be a well-known acolyte of the former guy. The agents took his phone after questioning Lindell about a Colorado county clerk who's being investigated for tampering with voting machines made by Dominion Voting Systems, the focus of debunked pro-Trump conspiracy theories about cheating in the last presidential election. The clerk, Tina Peters of Mesa County, has been indicted on state charges concerning an alleged plot to download electronic data from the voting machines. She, of course, pleaded not guilty. The warrant used to take the phone described Lindell as one of several co-conspirators in the plot to spread disinformation about the election. Meanwhile, reports that the phone was seized from Lindell as he waited in the drive-through line at a Hardee's restaurant just added an extra layer of absurdity to the whole situation. And speaking of absurd situations, this one defies reason. About 50 migrants from Venezuela and Colombia arrived unexpectedly at Martha's Vineyard Airport in Massachusetts Wednesday afternoon. This is just part of the latest effort by Republicans to send migrants to liberal so-called sanctuary destinations to protest rising illegal immigration. These 50 migrants began the day in Texas, a state which has bused others in their situation to Washington, D.C., New York, and Chicago. But this time it was Florida's Republican governor, Ron DeSantis. He sent this group to Martha's Vineyard. Yes, Governor Death Sentence is proudly taking credit for the stunt, an expensive one at that. He set aside $12 million for such political theater and spent a big chunk of it on chartering two planes for this photo op. Yeah, he made sure it was captured on video by also arranging for the videographers to be in place when the planes arrived. Ugh. Now, this move follows in the footsteps of Republican Governors Greg Abbott of Texas and Doug Ducey of Arizona, who started sending migrants to Washington, D.C. earlier this year. Abbott has since expanded his efforts to New York City and Chicago. And Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, trying to figure out how to deal with the 500 migrants sent to Chicago by Abbott, said that other states are treating these vulnerable families as pawns, but that Illinois would treat them as people. We'll see about that. And finally, with so much bad news topping the headlines each day, I'm thrilled to be able to share the final story in today's What's News Digest. Yvonne Chouinard, whose name I'm probably mispronouncing, is the founder of Patagonia. That's the outdoor clothing manufacturer. He announced Wednesday that he's giving away his entire company, valued at about $3 billion. Why? To help combat climate change and the environmental crisis. Seriously, he posted a letter to the company's website. It read in part, quote, "Earth is now our only shareholder. 100% of the company's voting stock transfers to the Patagonia Purpose Trust, created to protect the company's values. And 100% of the non-voting stock had been given to the Holdfast Collective, a nonprofit dedicated to fighting the environmental crisis and defending nature. In addition, profits that aren't reinvested back into the business will be distributed by Patagonia as a dividend to the Holdfast Collective to help address climate change. The company projects that it'll pay out an annual dividend of about $100 million, an amount that could change depending on the health of the business. Patagonia sounds like a good brand to give as gifts this holiday season. Just a suggestion. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on one of those donate buttons.